Some years ago, a young man came to me in Memphis. His marriage was on the rocks. He began to confess that he was in serious trouble. The young man was a graduate of this school. He was a former missionary. He and his wife had been employed overseas as missionaries for some years. They became troubled in their relationship. They came back home. They presently are divorced. It destroyed his entire home, and the it that I'm referring to is pornography. The young man, because of pornography, was made impotent. As far as normal sexual desire is concerned, he could not be aroused by his wife. It required some obscene picture. And there was no normal relationship with his wife. There had to be some abnormal picture introduced into his thinking. And he confessed that he was addicted to it and didn't know whether he'd ever get over it or not. And as far as I know, he has not. And it destroyed his home and will very likely destroy his soul. But not only does that hurt people directly, it hurts people indirectly. Some years ago, I counseled with a young lady, and she was not able to date young men with any freedom or sense of ease because she felt that there was a discrepancy between the physical aspects of marital love and the Christian life. And consequently, she felt that all physical aspects of married love were vulgar. And I couldn't understand, so I asked her to please explain more. And then it came out that her father had required her mother to dance lewd dances in front of him to excite him. And I said to her, I said, "Your father reads pornography, doesn't he?" She said, "Yes, how do you know?" I said, "This is just the pattern. It literally destroys normal desire. And the desire for the risque, for the abnormal, for the kinky, all of this invades a person. And he's led from one degree and depth of depravity to another. And the same escalation is seen in that person's life regarding sexual desires, the same escalation of excitement has to be given that person on an escalating degree of involvement, or else he loses interest. And so they just keep digging deeper and deeper into filth and into things that are not honorable. When she realized that what he had been subjected to had become an obsession with him, and when she realized that that really is not what married love is all about at all, she sighed a sigh of relief and saw that that's not what God had created. Some years ago, I did a survey here at our academy, and I was shocked to see how many students there read Mad Magazine. Mad Magazine is an introductory course to hardcore pornography. Now, if you don't agree with that, go home and check your recent issues of Mad Magazine. At least 4 years ago, it was very, very suspicious. And I'm confident that it has not improved. It will have been degraded even more if I know anything about the way that the world operates. The same kind of sickness has invaded TV. And the same pattern of escalation will be seen in our TV viewing or our TV shows, as from this point on, you can just count on it. It has escalated in the last 10 years. It's going to escalate from this point on. What it took to satisfy TV audiences 10 years ago, they won't even think about it today. What it took to satisfy them today will not even be thought of 10 years from now. They'll be that much worse then, because like drugs, you build up a tolerance level. And once that tolerance level has been crossed, then you need to build up another tolerance level. And you need to keep on feeding grosser and grosser concepts into people's minds, until finally nothing shocks and nothing excites and nothing satisfies but the very basest, lowest things that the human being can conjure up in his thinking. And don't think that Satan isn't attempting to do that. such programs as Soap, Three's a Company. Then tonight, there's a special beginning. Loose Change is a four-installment series on loose morality. These programs highlight promiscuity and homosexuality. They condone them. Marital infidelity is assumed as normal. Extramarital relationships are just the matter of the run of the mill. And all of this, you see, is being fed into our living rooms by people whose moral standards are not what your moral standards are. I don't know whether you've become completely... I know one thing, you get used to it. And whereas I would not have tolerated some words being said on TV like they're being said today, two or three years ago, I wouldn't have tolerated it, I find myself tempted to sit them out, and perhaps sitting them out sometimes. Ezekiel spoke to this in the 9th chapter as he spoke about the moral decay of the Jewish people. And he simply said that God gave a charge. The Lord said to him, that is this one who was going to do the slaying, go through the city, through Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and groan over all the abominations that are committed in Israel. And to the others, he said, in my hearing, pass through the city after him and smite. Your eyes shall not spare. You shall show no pity. Slay old men outright, young men and maidens, little children and women, but touch no one upon whom is the mark. And began at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the house. Then he said to them, defile the house, fill the courts with the slain, go forth. So they went forth and smote in the city. Now, the picture here was simply this. Everyone who was able to be grieved over what was happening in the city of Jerusalem, a mark was placed upon his head. And then everyone who could not be moved to grieve over the wickedness of the city was to be slain. This was in the writing of Ezekiel, and we just simply are shocked that this kind of measure was taken by God to stop the evil that was prevalent in the city of Jerusalem. I wonder if they had had TV programs such as we have today. I wonder if those who were caught sitting in front of the TV watching the debauchery that many times is shown on TV, I wonder if they would not be some of the ones that would have been killed. I'm confident that they would have been. Well, all right. Now, perhaps you're not watching it. And I'm confident, or at least I'm hoping, that the majority here are not watching it. But no doubt many do watch it. Many who profess to be Christians. What can we do about it? Well, this afternoon, Jim Mills and I went down to North Little Rock to the Jackson Church there. Jerry Harris from Shreveport, Louisiana, and Alan Bryan have launched a nationwide campaign against pornography on TV, and that's what it's coming to be. They've launched it in the form of billboards. They are planning a billboard campaign in Little Rock, 32 billboards for 6 months, plus 26 newspaper articles or layouts, 3 columns wide by 3 by 7 inches deep, 3,000 bumper stickers, 1,000 buttons, all of this to the cost of $46,000. They're hoping that the city of Little Rock will do that and follow the example set by Shreveport, by Marshall, Texas, by Williamstown, West Virginia. Isn't that West Virginia, Williamstown? Yeah. And they're hoping that this will spread all over the United States. One of the major reasons why we don't do anything about things like this is that we think many times that we're the only people doing anything, or that I'm the only one. What good will one letter do? Well, one letter probably won't do all that much. But one letter among 20,000 that we could send today would do a lot. And so the elders are urging each one of us to stay and have a part in this write-in campaign. The man there, Jerry, made this observation. Jerry Harris said that where we have the most leverage is with the sponsors of these programs. It's not with the ABC or CBS or NBC. They couldn't really care less. And you'll get a form letter from them probably when you write them. But if you'll write the sponsors of these programs, and the sponsors are here on a piece of paper, they're going to be reading them out. We've got 500 of these printed. We're going to be distributing them in just a few moments so that you can see who the sponsors are, so you can address letters to these people. Tell the sponsors that you object to it. This particular campaign that Jerry Harris is running has a very beautifully done brochure. They're going to be putting this out all over the United States. And it's being done in a very professional way. This man, Jerry Harris, is a professional advertising man and a very dedicated Christian. Tonight, the elders are hoping for, I don't know how many letters they are hoping for. They hope to perhaps that each one of us will write about 10 letters. If that's done, then we'll have approximately 20,000 letters to be sent out. If we can do that. These objectionable programs, for example, let me show you what can be done. The 30-minute or a 30-second advertising slot in a regular program on TV costs about $60,000 to $70,000, depending on what time of the day it is or night. Normally, it runs about $60,000 to $70,000. These objectionable programs that we've mentioned just a moment ago, and there are several of them listed here, the 30-second slot during that time slot when it advertises that program is, because of the risky business of supporting it and advertising it, it is selling for about $20,000. Where it was selling at $70,000, they're willing to sell you a 30-second slot if you'll just advertise on that particular hour or half hour. It's selling for as little as $20,000 for the 30-second slot. Now, that simply says that they're hurting and that those companies who are willing to go ahead and buy that kind of time, they're just kind of teetering, and they are questioning whether or not it's advisable to do it either. And we believe that all they need is a good push in the right direction, and they'd cut off that advertising and not risk that bad vibes that will come from people such as you who object to that kind of programming. And if you'll do that, write to the sponsors, and I'm confident that it'll have an effect that will be constructive and positive. In the book of Ephesians, we're engaged in a battle, and the writer there makes the statement. He just simply says that don't be deceived. No immoral or impure man or one who is covetous, that is an idolater. This is in chapter 5, verse 5. Don't be deceived into thinking that any people like that have any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. It is because of these things that the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them, for once you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that's good and right and true. And try to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of the things that they do in secret. And then he goes on and just simply says, awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of the time, buying up the opportunities, because the days are evil. And that's what our challenge tonight is. Let's make the most of the time. If we'll make this concerted effort right now, tonight, and we're going to take the rest of this hour, we're going to sing a song of encouragement to stand up for Jesus. Let's encourage one another. And let this encouragement be directed particularly towards sitting right where you are. And for the next 30 minutes, let's just simply get all this information that we possibly can, take the materials that the elders are going to be giving you, and do most of it here if you can. But then if you'll take the rest of it home with you, write your own letters when you get away from here, address the envelopes, we'll stamp them and mail them. You bring them back here on Wednesday night. And let's get about 20,000 letters going out of here this week. If we'll do it, we'll be joining people like Jerry Harris. Also, the Church of the Nazarene is launching a nationwide program against this very thing, and they're going to be doing it, I think, next week. So there's a concerted effort being made to stamp out this garbage that's on TV and to preserve the liberties and the standards of morality that have made this country what it has been, what it is today, as far as what's right in it. And let's be a part of it. I just hope that we will. This man, Jerry Harris, spoke to a very noted lawyer just this last week or so, and the man said this is the hottest issue in the United States right now, and if we'll strike while the iron is hot, we'll see some cleaning up done. And if we don't, you'll have to take the TV out of your home by the time your children are born. And those of us who already have children, we're already concerned. So let's do what we can, and let's take the elders' advice right now. Let's stand up and encourage each other with this song, Stand Up for Jesus, and then we'll be dismissed, and we'll get about this business. Let us stand, please.